Well, good evening. If we haven't met before, my name is Tim Caldwell. I'm the campus pastor here at Midtown. I love being here. And I've been looking forward actually to this sponsorship Sunday for a good while, because a year ago when we started meeting, I didn't know who in the world we would be partnered with and which mission partner, and just the way the Lord kind of weaved in all the things. And so what we're going to be talking about today, I'm so excited for just as a church and what we're going to get to do. So very excited about that. But I want, so at the end, we're going to talk just a little bit about sponsorship. What I want to do first is go to the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 6. And what I don't want to be guilty of is, here's a couple verses, so make sure and give to the children, right? Let's look at what he's saying here, because it's actually much bigger than sponsorship. It talks about just giving in our heart and laying up treasure in heaven. And so there's a whole lot of things here, and maybe just one of the applications we can do that as a church in investing and storing up treasure in heaven would be through this sponsorship and mission partnership that we have. And so, but I didn't want to confuse the two. And so we will go to Matthew chapter 6, and we will be in verse 19. And we'll read this part. If you wouldn't mind, I know you guys just sat down. Would you just stand? We believe these are much more than just words from a book. These are the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And so here's what they say. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if the eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then in you the light is darkness, how great the darkness. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Well, for just the outline for today, there's two treasures, there's two eyes, and there's two masters. That's kind of how Jesus breaks this down. And so the very first, it talks about storing up treasures. There's treasures on earth, and there's also in treasures in heaven. And so let's go ahead and just look at that at the beginning. If you're taking notes, first it says, stop storing up, or do not store up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. The first thing that we don't store up treasure, he's encouraging us not to, he's exhorting us not to, is because it doesn't last. Okay, it doesn't last. Whether it be thieves coming in and breaking in, whether it be moths, whether it be vermin, there's corrosion, lots of different translations here. It's funny because one of our screens almost didn't work because some little critter had gotten and chewed up the wire. Like, it just does not last, right? It doesn't last. Even if you're great at your security and how you invest, maybe it lasts through your lifetime, but you still die. What it's not just saying is just for the next 5 minutes or next couple months, our money. John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest Americans ever to live, somebody had asked him this question after he passed. They asked his accountant, how much did he leave behind? Now, some of you in here, you've wondered how much people are worth, and this was before Google, when you could just Google that or ask Siri. But somebody asked him, hey, how much did he leave behind? And his accountant very tactfully said, he left behind all of it, all that he had, right? He left behind all of it. You see, these earthly treasures that can be stolen, that can corrupt, they don't last. But let me just say one other thing. It doesn't satisfy. Maybe you figured this out if you've ever gone to another country or you're going to get that privilege. When you go to other countries, you realize their happiness is not dependent upon money and what they have. People who have much less than we do, and yet more joy. You could go to all sorts of studies. There was one that's been probably overused from 2010. It's been all over the internet and podcasts. But basically, they took a survey, and people who make over like $75,000 is a threshold in America. And they said over that, the amount of happiness, the more you amassed above that, is so incrementally small. They're just saying this in our head to think if we have more, it will satisfy us. Even the statistics done by a group outside of the church just saying it doesn't add up. Or as opposed to going to surveys, you could look at Jesus' words in Acts 20:35, when he says it is more blessed to give than to receive. or Proverbs 14:21 when it says, "Happy is he who gives to the poor." Jesus Christ says, "Do not store up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So just the opposite is true when he says, "So store up treasure in heaven." Why? Because it does last and it does satisfy. Let me just say a couple of things about this. We believe that when we give to the Lord, it doesn't mean when we give and we store up treasure in heaven, it's not like our bank account next week, there's just this credit. It comes from somewhere anonymously. We believe that there would be treasure in heaven. But since Jesus over and over talks about that the kingdom of heaven is here, it's not just about this life that is to come. When we invest in that which is eternal here, it not only impacts people here, it impacts eternity. Randy Alcorn would say it this way. He would say, you are sending it ahead, your investment. Think of a father who would be telling their kid, hey, don't worry about that. It doesn't last. Let's invest in something that really counts. When he's talking about treasure in heaven, because it does last, it does satisfy. For some of you in this room, maybe you just got out of school or you're still in med school and you're like, Tim, I'm not really worried about having too much money. That is not in abundance. We all have treasure. Where do we spend our margin, whether it be our time and our gifts or in our abilities? And maybe the question for you in this, because this is between you and the Lord, maybe to just make out a list. Where are you storing up treasure here on earth? You don't have to broadcast this. And then where are you storing up treasure in heaven? Maybe just to make a list, maybe you haven't thought of it that way, but what are you giving that is eternal, giving away, whether that be with your time or with your service or with your treasure and your money? Maybe just a list of where are you storing up here and that. I'm not saying you shouldn't have retirement. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have stuff for your kids. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying let's just start making a list internally, because what we're going to find out from Jesus is when we start storing up treasure in one place, sometimes we can get carried away and that's all we think about. So, storing up treasure in heaven or on earth, Jesus implores us. One of the things, Abby, I would just say to you, Abby was a part of FSM back in the day. But at 13, when you said yes, you took a little different path than a lot of teenagers take, which sometimes can be a little bit self-absorbed in the teenage years. But you just said yes to what the Lord had for you, and you stored up treasure in heaven. And she didn't get to some of the details, but can I say, because she said yes and started investing in these children who used to be sniffing glue on the streets, those who have been rescued from being sold to somebody in marriage who's 3 or 4 times their age, 700 children in 2 schools have totally different lives. Their families will never be the same. They will never be the same. Because she just chose to use her leadership and her influence and her money and her margin and her life to invest in things that are eternal. And there will be treasure in heaven, but there's all sorts of treasure here in lives that are not the same. And so I guess I would just ask, listen, I'm not saying this person who God has used and then you compare yourself to her, like, that's not fair for even me to anybody other person. I would just say this, make a list. Where are you storing up treasure here? And where would you be storing it up in heaven? And the Lord just implores us today, store up treasure in heaven. He says, for one reason here is just if you go in this text, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Everybody say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay. And it's not the opposite. We would think that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to go. And Jesus just gives this truth, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me just say this in a positive way. For some of us in this room, we want to think more about the Lord and we want to think more about what is eternal. But honestly, in just the busyness and paying the bills and everything that we're doing and putting our time towards, our mind just doesn't drift towards him all that much. Our resources just don't naturally drift towards his kingdom all that much. The answer is here. You want to think about the Lord more? You want your heart to be there? Put your treasure there. And if you'll put your treasure there, it's the Lord's job. Your heart will follow. Your heart will follow. For anybody in here going, I want to think differently, not be so wrapped up in me and my kingdom, then listen, put your treasure there. Your heart will follow. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Everybody say 2 treasures. Everybody say 2 eyes. Okay, the next section here, It says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This is very confusing for many, many commentaries because this illustration is not used much. But here's the deal. It's in the middle of context of a whole thing that Jesus is saying. So Jesus didn't speak in just exact words or just in just words or just sentences. It's a paragraph. It's a whole sermon. So we can look at what's before and what's after. And whether or not this is talking about that the light comes from within, like that which we see, or if it's allowing God's light in us for how we see. Here's where I wrestled as I look through this again. You can definitely study on your own. If your eyes see like the Lord sees as far as possessions and money, if you allow that, if you allow to see things like he sees it, the truth of the matter is it impacts a lot more than just your money. It actually impacts your whole being, your whole body. So when you look at things, and even in just being generous, listen, you become much more God-centered, you become much other-centered and less self-centered. You start looking at treasures in heaven, like it really changes kind of who you are. True story, I heard of a Christian couple and they had a convenience store. It got robbed one day, but they knew that this store, their money, it was all the Lord's. They just kind of saw it through the Lord's perspective. So the people came in, stuck them up, but they didn't inflict any violence. They gave them, and as they're running off with the money, the lady said, hang on. And she went and she brought him a roll of quarters, like the rolls of quarters. So she goes, it's all God's anyways. You can have it all. Wigged out the thief. He said, it's God's. It's God's. He dropped it and ran. Changes our perspectives if we would just see that it was all the Lord's. And what it's saying here is even with our light in the body, if the eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. The way you see money, the way you see your treasure actually impacts more than just your money. It impacts who you are. And so in the same way, if a healthy eye is full of light, your life becomes full of light, then a bad eye is what it says. God's light does not help filter in how you see things. It impacts all. You become selfish, self-centered, and all of life really becomes about you. Maybe you could picture in the extreme, maybe a three-year-old who gets everything they want. It's miserable for that person and for everybody else. So just know when it says the eye is a lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, or just the opposite, if you have good eyes or bad eyes, to see how God sees this issue. Let me just pause one thing before we go to two masters. I want you to hear the heart of our Father in this and the heart of our Savior. Some of you who are guests here today and you're thinking, oh man, I bet you the church always talks about money. You showed up today and we are talking about money. This is actually our first time. So come back next week and we won't be talking about it again. But hear the heart of what's being said here. I remember one time at maybe Christmas or birthday when drones were really big. They're so much more durable now. But when they were really big and really fragile at the first, I think the average lifespan of a drone was somewhere between 2 to 0.3 minutes, right? It lasts before it gets stuck in a tree or it falls down and it busts and it breaks. And one of our kids or one of our neighbor kids were even talking about it. And I'm thinking in my head, wait, like it doesn't last. Not because I had drone envy and I wanted to have the best drone in the neighborhood, you know? And I was trying to be in this competition with the kids. It's not because I didn't want to spend the money. I simply want what was best for these kids who were asking for them. And I was going, it does not last. Here when Jesus is talking about investing in that which lasts, listen, he's saying treasure in heaven. It comes from the heart of a Father who wants us to be free from our selfishness and from building a kingdom that is only here. So just know that. He gives one other illustration here and he says, two masters. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Pretty bold talk to say you either can serve God or money, but not the both. So my question is for you, what does it look like if you were to serve God or if you were to serve money and not the both? And here's what I would say about two masters. I just wrote down a couple of things. Whoever your master is, it will drive and shape your priorities. It will determine your happiness. It will define that in your value and your generosity. I would say probably most of us in here, you could probably think of somebody who's just like all about the dollar or all about amassing more. And most of us in this room say, that's not me. But if we really were to wonder, how could we know who our master is and who is really controlling us when it comes to our money and really our treasure and who we are, maybe it is, it would be by starting simply that and just saying, Lord, who is my master? Or does money have a bigger place in my life? My wife and I, we started this new thing. Hopefully it's going to keep up, but at 6 o'clock we get up, we have a very, very pretty street, and we walk and we just talk and we kind of catch up on the day. And I have a flashlight now since it's kind of cool and it's dark. And one of the things that my wife was even just thinking of, just going, we live around some very, very, very beautiful homes, and just saying, Lord, don't ever let us be entangled by money. Like, let us always treasure you. Like, we feel the pull. Living in Midtown, we feel that pull. And so how do we know who is our master when it comes to our money and how to be open-handed with the Lord? Let me just suggest one thing. Jesus gave us a practice. It actually started in Genesis 14, but it's all throughout the Old Testament. It's really just assumed in the New Testament. But it's something called tithing. So if you're new to church here, just learn a little bit of history, but tithing is simply this. God gives us everything. It all belongs to him. He owns it all. And he simply asks for 10% back. So back in the day when they were agricultural, whether it was they had sheep, whether they had a field, they would have all the harvest, and then they would give 10% of that. Really, it just says this, Lord, it all belongs to you anyways. And he asks for 10%. And somehow in giving 10%, which could seem like a whole lot for a lot of us, could be very new and hard, but somehow in giving just 10% back to him, just says, okay, Lord, I just acknowledge all that came from you, and it's all yours. That's a big trust factor, to say, Lord, you gave it, so here's 10% back. And so just know that from the beginning, even Abram was the first one who participated in this, and it's just talked about over and over. It's this weekly, monthly practice of anytime you get something, and just a reminder, okay, Lord, it all came from you, it all belongs to you, so I'm just gonna remind myself of that and for you and giving that back. Some of you may ask, why is that? Is that because God was hurting on money, and like he needed taxes, he needed some stuff, and he needed to implement this? Did you know that God doesn't need anything? God didn't ask you to give him his money because he needed it. He did it because we needed to give it away or else it will own us. And so here's the deal. There's a blank that you have, and it says that God doesn't need our money, but he wants our heart. I don't know if that's a new concept to you. I'm just saying that there was a practice from the very beginning that it's just this practice that he asked us called tithing, and it's just giving when we get something in to say thank you and to give back and give to him. And so if you are here and you're a guest and you're visiting, just that's something about the Christian faith. I'm not asking for your money tonight. I would say if you call yourself a follower of Jesus and looking at modeling your life after Jesus, those would be some things to start talking to him about. And there's something that happens when we don't want to give anything away and we're trying to plan ahead and all those things, that there's something that's really freeing that when we would give even a tithe, or we would just open up and say, Lord, what do you want from me? That you become open to receive and open to give. For anybody in this room who's going, well, is God gonna ask for everything? There was a rich young ruler, Jesus asked for everything. That's the only encounter where Jesus asked for everything. Did you know that Barnabas, he sold a field above and beyond what he already had? He sold a field, he didn't sell everything he had, but there was need in the church, and so he used some of his resources and blessed them. Awesome. Did you know that Mary, John Mark's mother, she had a fat house, like in a good way. Like the church fit in her house. Come on. Never says she sold it, but she used it to have people over. That's where they prayed. That's where the church gathered. Awesome. I'm not saying everything. I'm just saying there's something that's really hard about for us and knowing who our master is. If we would just open up to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have for me? That we would begin investing in eternal treasure, which makes all sorts of a difference here as well as in the life that is to come. So those are some of the things that I think that Jesus is imploring us to lay up treasure in heaven. Would you say that with me? Say treasure in heaven. Okay, and that's it. Two treasures, two eyes, and two masters. So can I tell you as a church how we're gonna do this? And we just want you to be a part. We are going to have a sponsorship Sunday. And as we talked about last week, Adam talked about we don't do anything really for any show for anybody else to see. This is between you and the Lord. But we get an opportunity to sponsor folks either from Haiti or from Kenya. And so what I'm going to do, first of all, let's go ahead and show the film. Know our church is sponsoring 5 or 6 different groups, Midtown, Benton, Cabot, West Little Rock, and Espanol. And so look at it as a whole, what it looks like to sponsor. And then I'm going to tell you about our partners that we're going to be sponsoring here at Midtown. So we can go ahead and roll that.
Our family first committed to the Children of Honduras when we went on our first mission trip 19 years ago. And in the city of Tegucigalpa, we saw children of all ages wandering the streets, living in abject poverty, and begging food on the street because they had nothing to eat.
And I never thought I'd be in India at all. It was one of the two places in the world I thought, bottom of the list, you know. So to my surprise, the Lord sent me there a couple of times.
Child sponsorship has been part of my life as long as I remember. Back even as a child, my parents always had children in our that we sponsored. So I remember praying for them. I remember writing letters even as a child. And through those years, it continued. And even once my husband and I got married, I remember it wasn't even a question. We were just going to sponsor a child. Where do you want to sponsor it from? And my dad had always sponsored through a certain organization. So we picked that one up and got ourselves a child and began to sponsor even as a newly married couple.
It was a no-brainer. We needed to support WGO in that opportunity to help the kids. And through the years, we've had the opportunity to support individual children. And right now, we have 2 little girls named Perla and Scarlett, who are sisters. They're adorable. They're 8 and 11. And through subsequent trips to Honduras and also through letters and pictures, we've watched them grow and thrive over these last few years.
The most recent one would be the one that we sponsored through the church with Africa New Life. And that was once Anna and I and my oldest son Josh decided to take a mission trip to Rwanda. We wanted to go ahead and begin sponsoring a child through that country because we knew we would be given the opportunity
to see her.
Yeah. That opportunity to be involved with the Asian Christian Academy, which is a school in South Central India. I had the opportunity to meet our child. I call her Nad, but it's Nad Dahini. Her story is an orphan. Not only is she orphaned there, but also she has some language differences.
Perla is now 8, but when we first met her, she had just come to live at Rancho Ebenezer, which is the child care facility for World Gospel Outreach in Honduras. She was very shy and withdrawn and afraid of us, I think, because she wasn't accustomed to seeing us. It's been just so special for her to grow, to love us and care for us. And when I go to the ranch now, she knows who I am and she is happy to see me. And the same thing is true of her sister, Scarlett. Scarlett is 3 years older and we saw her in the beginning but didn't realize that they were siblings. So once we found out that they were siblings and saw them together, there was no doubt that we had to sponsor both of them. Just there was no way to give up one or the other.
We took our trip to go see her last summer, and it was definitely changed my life. Absolutely flipped it around, and seeing her, like getting to meet her was so incredible, and getting to know, like, we got to be a part of her life and got to send her to school, and the way that trip changed her life, I hope that, we get to change her life in that same way and bring her to Christ and show her Christ's love through us supporting her.
And it really just changed everything. She's just this beautiful spirit, quiet girl whose life's going to be impacted by us being involved in each other this way. How that ends up, I don't know what her story is going to be. I just know that the opportunity that we're providing her by making a very small sacrifice regularly is going to not only change what her trajectory is physically, but spiritually, what impact that's going to have on that whole region. So we're excited to see where that goes.
Another thing that's so important to me is the spiritual side. The children also learn about God and Jesus and what it means to be in the family of God and receive that hope, eternal hope through salvation. where they might never hear that story outside of this opportunity.
All right. So, big picture, Fellowship Midtown. We have 60 or 75 partners that we have as a church, correct, both locally and globally. We give 15% of all that we have away. But what we're doing big picture for Fellowship Midtown is we have two partners. We have Blue Door in Kenya, and then we also have Hosean Ministries in Haiti. And here's what that's going to look like. Those are going to be our people. Our D groups are going to be praying for these missionaries and these schools and these children. Even in November, Hosean, the Lucians will be here. They'll be able to speak to us. We'll be able to sponsor children, be able to hopefully be able to write them and correspond with them. And then eventually we'll be able to take trips and mission trips and see those people and minister with them. When those missionaries come here, when the Lucians come here, some of you may be dentists or doctors. We're going to take care of our people, right? When we go over there, we may take medical trips, or we may take construction trips, or we may take VBS ones. So just picture this for a moment, whether or not you are a young adult, whether or not you are a senior adult, picture taking on one person or two people or three kids, and you say, for $40 a month, I'm going to start sponsoring them, and I'm going to start praying for them, and that's going to be my child. Not only are you going to make a huge difference by giving towards that and towards those ministries, hopefully in the days to come, just as a church, we're going to be able to visit, see, correspond, be able from this room right here to be able to impact folks across the globe. And so that's really the call that you guys have. You guys have already heard from Blue Door. They have 700 children in two different schools. Those people have been either rescued from off the streets. They're given everything from for sure the gospel and Bible training and discipling. They get school, they get meals, they get lodging, all of those things for $40 a month. The same way for Hosean. I have actually Hosean International Ministries. So let me just give you a real quick story. This is Caleb and Debbie Lucian. And Caleb, many, many years ago, he was sponsored to go to school. He would have never been able to, so he got to be able to be sponsored. As soon as he got out, had very little, started sponsoring other children. He's gotten his degree. He's also a pastor. He's a leader. But here's the deal. He has started a school and whole sponsorship program. He actually has become influential enough in his country. He's brought power to his part of the city. He has brought all sorts of other things. And so just know for their kids, I think we have a couple pictures of some of the kids at their school. And these would see some of the kids that you will see their faces on. And so those faces right there that we would be able to have an impact on. And so that's what we are going to invite you to do today. I'm actually in just a moment going to ask Junior, which is Caleb Lucian's nephew, who's been a part of Fellowship for the last 5 years. I'm going to ask for him to come up and pray for us. Junior, would you come on up here? I'll ask actually the band to come on up. And here's how this is going to work. We're not going to sing a song because we're not asking you to sing tonight. We're just asking you, would you consider sponsoring someone from Haiti or from Kenya? And it's $40 a month. We hope that you would be in it for the long term. You can come up and look at people's faces and names. You'll get a little card, something like this. And if you say, hey, I want to be a part of this, then you can go ahead and sign up. We'll have representatives at both. We take this more than just a donation. We see this as partnering in ministry with some people across the world. And so for some of you in this room, let me just say, you have children in the children's program, and you're like, I want them to be a part of this. We're going to be here for a while, so you can go back and get them and come back and check out the tables. There's some of us in this room, and you already sponsor children, like some of you in this room, a lot of them. And so listen, we're not worried about show or anything else. If you want to even during this time say a prayer for those children that you already sponsor, great. We don't want to put another burden on you, but we just want you to be open to say, Lord, what would you have us to do as a church as we partner with these two organizations, storing up treasure in heaven? And so, Junior, we've known each other, I guess, since you've been here. He's investing in teenagers and students and a young adult program at West Little Rock. But I wonder if you would be able to pray for these boys and girls and then for our church. And if you would you pray in your native tongue in Haitian Creole and then pray in English for us?
Absolutely.
All right, Junior, thank you.
Papa, nous qui dans ciel là, nous te remercions pour grâce.
Merci pour l'opportunité que vous avez pour nous parler aujourd'hui, pour nous toutes rencontrer ensemble, pour nous chanter, pour nous boire gloire et pour nous brûler tout le monde pour avec même cœur, avec même esprit, avec un désir pour faire nous glorifier, pour capable aller et servir l'autre, yon l'autre même gens qui ont été nous pour nous faire là. Je voudrais que vous puissiez changer cœur l'église, vous puissiez adoucir cœur et vous puissiez capable venir connecter ensemble avec les peuples et puis comprendre qui grandeur l'amour et grandeur appel que vous avez pour vous capable servir dans le ministère. So Heavenly Father, thank you again for everything that you've been doing here. Thank you for how you are using fellowship as a ministry and how they devote their heart and their personal to serve in your ministry, to go out into the world faithfully and to make disciples and to make your name known. I pray that you keep your blessing over this ministry and everyone who's serving in it. And I pray that your Holy Spirit touch more hearts, that we may have more people to come and join hands and to help the ministry grow. As you say that the harvest is plentiful. And so, Lord, we need more hands and more heart. People who are praying, who have a desire to serve and to give everything just to see your name glorified. And so, Lord, we know that life are changing. Your mission is growing and nothing is going to stop it. And we want to take that and dwell in it and believe in it and rest in your peace, in your hope, because you said in your word that you will be with us until the end. And so, God, thank you for everyone that you're touching, everyone who had the opportunity to be here tonight, and all the great things that you will reveal to them in the days to come. We are very thankful for their heart and how you are transforming lives. And thank you for the Blue Door Ministry in Kenya and the amazing works they are doing there. And I pray that the work may continue strongly and that your name may continue to glorify and more people will come to know you. And that we may have more stories and testimonies that will bless other people and call more people to actions. Thank you for Tim and his devotion to you. I pray that you guard him, his health, and keep sharpening him as a leader and as he's serving, you know, to be a blessing to this community. We love you, God, and we praise your name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.